Sunday, May 4th, the third Sunday of Easter. The first reading from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 32 and 40 through 41. When the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them, "We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles said in reply, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had killed him by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him." The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismiss them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. Haydock Commentary. Peter answered boldly, "We ought to obey God rather than men," and adds that God had raised from death Jesus, the Prince and Savior of mankind, by whose merits all might find repentance and forgiveness of their sins, and that they were witnesses of his resurrection. The joy of the apostles on the present occasion is one of the greatest of miracles. Only the yoke of Jesus could make this sweet. But so the faithful servants of God have always found it. In tribulation they abounded in inward peace and joy, which made them insensible of their exterior sufferings. The second reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out, "To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might, forever and ever." The four living creatures answered, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. Haydock Commentary. The Arian heretics pretend that the Lamb, Jesus Christ, is not the same true God with the Father, but only deserved divinity or to be made God in an inferior and improper sense. The argument is of no force at all. The sense is, thou art worthy to have thy power and divinity acknowledged and praised by all creatures both in heaven and earth, and the following words are a confutation of them. I heard all saying, "To him that sitteth on the throne and to the Lamb, benediction and honor and glory and power forever and ever," where the same divine power is attributed to the Father and to the Son of God, Jesus, true God and true man. The Gospel from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." Haydock Commentary. None of them dared to ask, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. It is likely he appeared to them with a countenance different and brighter than before his death. Yet they were presently so convinced it was Jesus that they were ashamed to ask or doubt of it. "Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these?" That is, "More than any one of these love me." Christ puts this question thrice to St. Peter, that this triple protestation of love, says St. Augustine, might correspond to his triple denial. St. Peter did not answer that he loved him more than the rest did, which he could not know, but modestly said, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And the third time, "Thou knowest all things, and the hearts of all men. Thou knowest how much I love thee." At each protestation, Jesus answered, "Feed my lambs," and the third time, "Feed my sheep." To feed, in the style of the scriptures, is to guide, rule, and govern. St. Ambrose and some others take notice as if by the lambs might be understood the people, and by the sheep, those placed over them, as bishops, priests, etc. But others make no such difference in this place betwixt lambs and sheep, only as comprehending all the members of Christ's church, of what condition soever, even the rest of the apostles. For here it was that Christ gave to St. Peter that power which he had promised him in Matthew 16:18. That is, he now made St. Peter head of his whole church, as he had insinuated at the first meeting when St. Andrew brought him to our Savior, when he changed his name from Simon to Peter, and again when he chose him and made him the first of his 12 apostles, but particularly when he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Upon this account, the Catholic Church from the very first ages hath always reverenced and acknowledged the supreme power of the successors of St. Peter in spiritual things over all Christian churches. This appears by the writings of Tertullian, St. Irenaeus, St. Cyprian, of the greatest doctors and bishops both of the West and East, of St. Jerome, St. Augustine, St. John Chrysostom, in several places of the first general councils, particularly of the Great Council of Chalcedon. He calls him Simon, son of John, to discriminate him from Simon Thaddeus, that everyone might know that the chief care of the universal church was not given to any other apostle but Peter. St. Peter had three times renounced his master, and Jesus, to give him an opportunity of repairing his fault by a triple confession, three several times demanded of him if he loved him more than these, that, as St. Augustine remarks, he who had thrice denied through fear might thrice confess through love. Christ prophesied to Peter that a cross would be the instrument of his death and martyrdom. When he says, "When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go," that is to say, a violent death is against the natural inclination of any man, even though he be ever so willing and disposed to undergo it. The martyrdom of St. Peter took 34 years after this episode. He was first cast into prison and then led out to punishment as Christ had foretold of him. He stretched out his arms to be chained, and again he stretched them out when he was crucified, for he died on the cross, as the ancients assure us.